When you think of a bank heist, there's like this expectation of drama.
Oh, absolutely. The classic Hollywood movie scene.
Right. You picture the ski masks, the shattered vault, the blaring sirens. It's loud, it's obvious, and well, everybody in the room knows a crime just happened right in front of them.
Yeah, the money is gone, the police tape goes up, and there's a very clear before and after.
Exactly. But welcome to this deep dive, because today we are looking at something completely different. You sent us an incredible stack of sources today: FTC data, cybersecurity threat reports, Interpol briefs, and these really deep banking analyses on modern romance scams.
Yeah, it's a pretty massive pile of data.
It is. And our mission for this deep dive is to completely shatter the illusion that romance scams are just about, gullible people sending gift cards to obvious fake profiles.
Right, because that's the stereotype, but it's completely wrong.
It is. We are uncovering the massive industrialized operating model working behind the scenes. We're talking stolen identities, artificial intelligence, and global money laundering networks.
It's a massive, massive ecosystem.
It really is.
Yeah.
So, whether you are actively navigating the online dating world yourself, or you're networking on social media, or maybe you're just someone curious about cybersecurity, understanding these mechanics is crucial to protecting yourself and the people you care about. Okay, let's unpack this.
Well, to really understand the severity of this threat, we have to look way past the visible outcome.
You mean the actual request for money?
Exactly. The visible outcome is just that request. And if
Yeah.
you only look at that specific moment, you miss the entire ecosystem.
Right.
We have to examine the incredibly sophisticated supply chain of modern fraud that precedes that request. And, it is functioning at a completely unprecedented scale.
The scale is honestly what jumps out immediately in the numbers you share. Like, we aren't looking at a localized consumer awareness issue anymore. It is a cyber-enabled, organized crime epidemic.
Yeah, epidemic is definitely the right word for it.
I mean, just looking at the UK finance data from 2025, it paints a grim picture. Nearly £39.2 million vanished into these networks.
And that's a 22% increase from the previous year.
Right, a 22% jump, resulting in over 6,300 reported cases in just that one year alone.
And keep in mind, that is strictly what gets reported.
Oh, wow. So the real number is probably way higher.
Significantly higher. The stigma surrounding financial manipulation prevents a massive percentage of victims from ever coming forward. But what is truly shifting, though, is where these initial contacts are actually happening.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because the 2025 Federal Trade Commission data in the U.S. shows nearly 60% of these cases now originate on social media, gaming platforms, and professional networking sites.
They aren't just camping out on dating apps anymore.
Not at all. I mean, if
No.
you are on a professional network looking for a job or just, sharing industry insights, you are a potential target.
Absolutely.
And the actual payment patterns are just wild. The data shows a staggering average of 9.7 payments per case.
Yeah, that is the highest of any authorized push payment scam.
And that basically means the victim is manipulated into passing all the security checks and hitting the send button themselves.
Exactly. They are authorizing it.
It's just averaging nearly 10 payments. It's like boiling a frog. If someone asks for your life savings on day one, you jump out. But 9.7 payments mean they are slowly turning up the heat, starting with pennies before moving to thousands.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it explains why these operations are so patient.
How do you mean?
Well, Interpol has recently documented the global expansion of industrial-scale scam centers. We really need to get past this idea of lone hackers sitting in a basement.
Right, the guy in the hoodie.
Yeah, that's not what this is. We are talking about massive office buildings operating like Fortune 500 companies. They have HR departments, performance quotas, and incredibly detailed scripted playbooks.
That is terrifying.
It gets worse. The dynamic here is particularly dark because it involves dual victims.
Dual victim.
Yeah. On one end, you have a person sitting at home being financially and emotionally drained. But on the other end of the keyboard, the individual typing the messages is often a victim of human trafficking.
Oh my God. Wait, really?
Yes. They are lured by false overseas employment opportunities, trapped in these physical compounds, and forced under extreme physical duress to run these social engineering scripts 12 hours a day.
So the person stealing from you is frequently doing it with a proverbial gun to their head.
Exactly.
Wow, that totally reframes the entire concept of the scammer. I mean, knowing these are industrialized centers with massive overhead, they clearly need a high success rate to keep the lights on. They can't just spam everyone and hope for the best.
No, they are highly targeted.
So I want to dig into how they are selecting and grooming their targets so perfectly without triggering our natural defenses.
Well, it comes down to meticulous victim selection and psychological profiling. The attack actually begins long before they even say hello.
Like you're doing research.
A ton of it. Criminals use automated tools to scrape social media, and they buy data from brokers to review relationship statuses, employment history, and crucially, major life events.
Like what kind of life events?
They are specifically looking for signals of emotional vulnerability and social isolation. So maybe a recent bereavement, a messy divorce, a sudden retirement, or a major geographic relocation.
So they're actively hunting for a specific psychological opening.
Yes, exactly.
And once they select a target, they craft a persona with a built-in excuse for distance and irregular contact.
Right.
I mean, this explains why the sources highlight personas like military officers on deployment or offshore oil engineers or international aid workers.
It's all highly calculated.
Because the occupation itself does the heavy lifting.
Right.
It explains why they can't jump on a quick FaceTime call or why they keep canceling meetups at the last minute.
Exactly. The occupation creates this artificial barrier that the victim just accepts as part of the romance. And then the scammers also prioritize moving the victim off the original platform immediately.
Why is that?
They want to transition the conversation from the dating app or professional network straight to WhatsApp, Telegram, or another encrypted messenger.
To avoid getting caught by the app.
Right. If they stay on the original platform, the internal security algorithms might detect their language patterns and ban them. Moving to private messaging preserves their access to the victim, even if their original profile gets reported and deleted by moderators.
That is so manipulative. And once they have you in a private chat, the psychological control really starts accelerating.
It moves very fast.
They mirror your values, they echo your hopes, and they push for unusually fast, long-term commitments, like talking about marriage or buying a house together within weeks, so that you think any future inconsistencies are just temporary bumps in a real relationship rather than, you know, fraud.
Exactly. You're already invested in the future.
But wait, wouldn't a quick reverse image search on Google instantly expose a fake profile picture? I mean, if someone messages me claiming to be an offshore engineer and uses a too perfect photo, my first instinct is to run it through Google. A stolen stock photo is going to get flagged immediately, exposing the whole thing.
Well, a decade ago, that intuition would have absolutely protected you.
But not anymore.
Not anymore. Today, the technology has far outpaced basic verification tools. These criminal centers are using generative adversarial networks, or GANs, to create synthetic images.
Wait, synthetic images?
Like AI.
Exactly. These are high-definition photos of faces that literally do not exist in the real world. A reverse image search will return zero results because the photo is entirely unique down to the pixel level.
That is wild.
And they don't just stop at a single profile picture either. They fabricate an entire interlocking digital footprint.
What do you mean? Let's say the persona is an architect named David. Searching David's name won't trigger any scam warnings. Instead, you will find a polished, mutually consistent professional networking page. You will find an Instagram account with thousands of followers, populated with synthetic photos of David traveling.
With fake comments from fake friends.
Exactly. Surrounded by synthetic comments from other AI-generated bot accounts. You might even find a sophisticated fake company website listing him as a director, complete with fake press releases.
Oh my God. So the entire digital footprint is basically a constructed movie set designed solely to pass your initial background check.
Yes.
You do your due diligence, and the internet just lies back to you.
And the internet completely lies to you.
Oh, wow. Okay, so with the emotional hook set and the fake background checking out, the financial trap is ready. And based on the banking analyses in our sources, it never starts with a massive demand for cash.
No, the escalation is really a masterclass in behavioral psychology. The first request is always small, temporary, and heavily emotionally framed. It's never a demand for $10,000. It is carefully phrased as a minor logistical hurdle. They will claim they are stuck at the airport or their card was frozen due to international travel and they just need $50 to cover a customs fee so they can finally come see you.
And if you say no to that, you feel like the bad guy ruining this deep connection over a tiny, understandable hurdle.
Exactly.
You send that first small amount and you have basically established financial compliance. You've crossed a psychological barrier.
That's the sunk cost.
Right. After that, the requests escalate to medical bills or massive taxes needed to release a fabricated inheritance. This creates a powerful sunk cost dynamic. The more money you send, the harder it is to admit the whole thing's a lie.
Because if you admit it's fraud, you aren't just accepting that your bank account is empty.
No.
You have to accept that the person you love, the future you planned, simply does not exist. Confronting financial ruin and utter heartbreak simultaneously is something the human brain will do almost anything to avoid.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Victims will literally fight their own families and their bank tellers to keep sending money. And the scammer actively coaches them, telling them their family is just jealous, isolating them further into the cognitive dissonance.
It's just devastating.
It really is. And the source material notes a massive evolution in this space toward what Interpol is now classifying as romance baiting.
Romance baiting.
Yes. The global policing community prefers romance baiting over the older, highly stigmatizing term pig butchering.
Ah, right. Because that older term makes victims feel deeply ashamed and stops them from reporting the crime.
Exactly. It's horrible terminology.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because in these romance baiting scenarios, the scammer doesn't even ask for emergency money.
No, not at all.
They present themselves as wealthy, financially savvy, and successful. They just casually talk about how much money they're making in crypto or foreign exchange. Eventually, they offer to help you invest, too. They guide you to a fake dashboard.
Yeah, this is the investment mirage.
It's like a rigged arcade game that spits out a bunch of tickets on your first try to prove it's winnable, you know.
Right.
They let you put in a small amount, the fake website shows your investment doubling in days, and they actually let you withdraw a little bit of the profit back to your real bank account to prove it's genuine.
And that is the hook.
Right. It convinces you to empty your wallet, chasing a jackpot that literally isn't programmed to exist.
Seeing that small withdrawal hit your actual bank account vaporizes any remaining skepticism. Victims will borrow money from family or liquidate their pensions to maximize this so-called opportunity.
And then what happens when they try to cash out?
Well, when the victim finally tries to withdraw that massive life-changing balance, the platform suddenly demands a 20% release fee for taxes.
Of course.
They pay it, and then the platform demands an insurance fee. The scammers will bleed the victim dry with imaginary fees until there is absolutely nothing left to extract. The numbers dancing on that screen never represented real currency.
It's just brutal. And you would assume hitting rock bottom financially is the end of the nightmare. But the analysis points out that the financial loss isn't always the end game.
No, it's really not.
The scammers often convert the victim into active infrastructure for their wider criminal network.
What's fascinating here is how the romance scam operates as a sophisticated infrastructure recruitment mechanism.
How did that work?
Well, once a victim is out of money, the partner might claim they are having trouble with their own bank and ask if they can wire some money to the victim's account for them to hold or forward to someone else.
Uh-oh.
They might ask the victim to open a small business account in their name to help with logistics.
So the victim unwittingly becomes a money mule. They are washing stolen money for the syndicate.
Exactly.
The FBI actually has specific warnings detailing how this works. They say an online companion asking you to receive and forward money is likely using you to facilitate other theft. They are routing funds stolen from other victims through your clean, legitimate identity to create distance between themselves and the crime.
And when the authorities trace the stolen funds,
they arrive at your account. You take the heat.
Yes. This creates a scenario where the victim of a romance scam is unknowingly committing federal felonies on behalf of the syndicate.
That is just so dark.
And if a victim starts to push back or refuses to move the money, the criminals integrate sextortion.
Oh, wow.
Over the course of the fake relationship, they frequently persuade the victim to share intimate photos or participate in private video calls. The moment the victim stops complying financially, the scammer threatens to blast those images to the victim's employer, their spouse, their children, and their entire social network.
But the Interpol warning points out that the scammers don't even need the victim to willingly send intimate photos anymore, do they?
No, they don't.
They're using AI-generated synthetic imagery to create the blackmail material. Like, they will take a normal, clothed photo from the victim's social media profile, use deepfake technology to map that face onto highly realistic, sexually explicit video content, and use that manufactured footage to extort them.
It's completely manufactured.
Even if the victim never shared genuine, intimate content, the threat of social destruction is just as terrifying whether the video is real or fake. So the victim pays the extortion out of sheer panic.
But paying the extortion only proves to the scammer that the victim can be pressured, leading to a never-ending cycle of demands.
Right. Never stops.
The mechanics of these crimes are incredibly complex, which explains why banks and tech platforms struggle to stop the funds from leaving. To the bank's automated security systems, these transactions look technically legitimate.
Because it's actually the victim doing it.
Exactly. The bank doesn't see the fabricated romance, the extortion threats, or the fake crypto dashboard. They see a customer logging in from their usual home IP address using their recognized personal device and successfully passing the biometric face scan authentication to wire their own money.
The system verifies the identity of the person making the payment, but it has no mechanism for verifying if that person's reality has been completely manufactured through deception.
That's beautifully put. And the victims are actively coached by the scammers on exactly what to say to bank staff to bypass human security checks.
Yeah, I was reading the UK's Financial Conduct Authority findings. They found that in 42% of the romance fraud cases they reviewed, the victims gave deliberately misleading explanations to their bank.
42%? That's huge.
The scammer tells them the bank will try to block the transfer, coaching them to claim they are buying property or supporting a sick family member. I mean, think about it. If a bank teller suspects I'm being scammed, but I'm defensively screaming at them to wire the money for my fiancé's medical emergency, how can they possibly intervene without making me more defensive?
Intervening requires what the banking industry calls a resilient control stack.
Resilient control stack.
Yes.
Yes.
It means moving beyond generic pop-up warnings or automated blocks. You cannot simply tell a highly manipulated victim that their relationship is fake.
Because they'll just shut down.
They will shut down entirely. They'll just walk out and go to another branch. The intervention has to be relationship aware and focused on safeguarding through persistent, non-accusatory questioning.
What does that look like in practice?
A trained fraud specialist will gently ask how they met the beneficiary, if they have met them safely in person, and if the funds are for an investment, whether the returns can be independently verified.
So it's not about telling them they're wrong.
No, the goal is to ask the right questions to help the individual test the story themselves, guiding them to identify the contradictions independently so they break the psychological spell on their own terms.
Wow. Breaking that spell is crucial because the trauma of this crime doesn't end with a single scam.
Unfortunately, no.
The FCA data show that 15% of these cases involve customers who had prior fraud on their record. Scammers keep detailed lists of known victims. Month after the initial devastation, they will target the exact same person again.
Often as a recovery scam.
Yes. This time pretending to be a fraud recovery service, promising to track down the stolen funds for an upfront fee. It is a relentless cycle of exploitation.
And that's why cross-institution information sharing is a critical defense mechanism against that cycle. Banks need to share intelligence on the beneficiary accounts, the accounts actually receiving the stolen money.
Oh, that makes sense.
If one bank identifies and shuts down a scammer's mule account, the fraudster shouldn't be able to simply pivot and direct the victim to wire funds to a different bank the next day. The entire financial ecosystem has to operate as a united front to trace and freeze these networks.
So what does this all mean?
Well, there's a lot to take in.
There is. When we zoom out and look at all the sources you provided, the main takeaway is that romance fraud is not a momentary lapse in judgment or a sign of gullibility. It's a complex, long-duration financial crime designed by experts to bypass human psychology. The takeaway for you, listening to this, is to remain highly vigilant. If a sudden financial discussion or an exclusive investment opportunity arises from an online connection, no matter how deep the emotional bond feels, that is the ultimate red flag. Take a step back and look for the signs of emotional isolation in your own friends and family.
That's a really important point.
Yeah, someone you love suddenly goes dark or starts making uncharacteristic financial moves for a partner they've never met, they might be caught in this sunk cost trap. They need a non-judgmental lifeline to help them test the reality of their situation.
And I would add one final unsettling detail from the analysis that challenges how we interact online. Think about the verification badge.
The blue check mark.
Yes, the blue check mark. We are deeply conditioned to trust the verification tick on social media and dating apps as an absolute guarantee of identity and safety.
Right, because it means they proved who they are.
But criminals are adapting their supply chain to defeat this. They are having genuine trafficked individuals pass the live biometric identity checks to get an account verified.
Real way.
Yes. Once the platform grants the blue check mark, they seamlessly hand control of the conversation over to the fraudulent scam center. It leaves you wondering, In a world where verified accounts can be hijacked at the source and high-definition video can be synthetically generated in real time, can you ever truly trust the digital proof of identity on the other side of your screen?
It fundamentally rewrites our relationship with digital trust. The silent alarm we talked about at the very beginning, the invisible robbery, makes total sense when you realize the disguise is just a blue check mark and a perfect synthetic smile. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into your sources. Stay curious, stay skeptical, and keep questioning what you see out there. Catch you next time.